Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Come Alive edition. Here are your hosts for today, Paul Galoro and Catherine Stilo.
So we can officially say to each other now, Happy New Year.
Officially.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Moon in Capricorn. We're recording this just after, the moon was in Capricorn up until yesterday. This morning we woke up in a world where the moon is in Aquarius, but we're still in the new moon energy. So
new moon.
I have to say, it agrees with you. You look wonderful.
Thank you. The new wolf moon.
How are you?
I feel good. I feel a shift of energy. I really do. So things just feel stronger, I think is my word. A little more intense, a little more powerful, but it's in a very subtle way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I think I get what you're saying. Like what I'm hearing what you're saying is like things feel a little bit more rooted.
Yes.
That's like the stronger. Yes. That you're you put a filter on it, but you know what I mean. You pulled up the contrast or the brightness, and it's everything that as is, but just more vibrant.
Oh, that's what it thank feels. Thank you for being able to take the pictures and sounds in my head and actually get them out, because just before we started, remember, I couldn't find the word for something. I was like, oh, la, la, and it was computer. And I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those episodes.
It always is. It always is. Oh, oh my gosh. But yeah, it's a good time. I've been talking about this with all of my students, all my classes, et cetera, that, you know, the calendar is just a made up thing. I say, you know, January 1st is just an arbitrary date. It could be, and the joke that I use is December 37, like it could be anything. But really it's not, for me anyways, it's not until the sun and the moon come into the same place, which makes the new moon, in the consciousness of Capricorn, that makes it the new year. Because now we've got our conscious awareness, but also our unconscious mind aligning into this place of setting new intentions with the Capricorn consciousness, which is all about setting goals, but then pursuing those goals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, here we are, ready to go. And I feel sensitive to these shifts anyway. And I do feel it. So it's pretty cool.
And I think to your point, when we start to harmonize more with the natural cycles and phases of the moon and the shifting seasons, we become more sensitive to the subtle changes, the subtle energies, and mm-hmm. we're more harmonized with this earth plane on which we're living. Yeah. Yeah,
totally. And you know what? I have to say, I think people are a lot more attuned to it than they think they are.
Of course.
Because so many times, and I put a post up, I shared a story on the Instagram earlier this week. Something, it was like a meme of, it said something like, you know, when the astrologer friend gets a message from someone else saying what's going on with the stars, and it was like a clip from a movie of a guy going, I don't know, but I'm gonna find out. And so I shared that because so many times I have friends that are not as aware of like what's going on, but they're like, Paul, what's happening? Is Mercury retrograde? Because I'm feeling this, and this. Yeah. And I'm like, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Like sometimes Mercury isn't retrograde, but something else is happening that makes it feel like that. So it's really cool to see that some people are like open to it. Maybe they're not like the meteorologist that's looking at the weather patterns to say it's gonna rain, like me, the astrologer looking at the planetary patterns to say, hey, this might be the consciousness that you might be in, but it's interesting that some people pick it up.
A lot more people are picking it up, and we are as beings on this plane where we're spirit and matter combined in this dance, we are attuned to those energies. And when we come in young, super attuned, and then get sort of taught different ways and lose some of that magic. And I think that I've had more people express to me more things like you're describing, where they're saying, I'm feeling this, or I'm noticing this, or I'm starting to this, and I'm starting to hear things, and I'm starting to know things, and I'm starting to sense things. And it's, there is very much a new energy that's coming in. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, there's new earth energy because of the way that the sun is acting now, and more solar flares, more coronal mass ejections, they're bigger, and being electromagnetic beings, being on an electromagnetic being, the earth being a being herself, everything gets influenced by those pulses and those shifts. And then it affects our electromagnetic field. So we start to feel things, and that all starts to happen. So there's new earth energy. And then there's also new earth energy that's coming in. And yeah. I think, you know, we opened up in our private little chat where I said, you know what, I'm in 2024, I'm now like just kind of letting my freak out. Like I'm not, you know, I used to keep classes very much to the yoga and what people expected. And now I'm like, no, I'm peppering in the whole freak. And
yes.
if those, and I say that with a very, not in a judgmental way, in a very, very proud way, I'm letting my freak fly.
Yeah.
Because this shift is happening. So if we talk the way that we're talking and these seeds land, I know you said that some people give you the, huh? And they do. And that's okay. Yeah. Some people give you the ha, but that seed lands, and then it's a thing that starts to connect the dots for things that people have been experiencing. Mm-hmm. And when those seeds land in a place that they're ready, they germinate and they start to grow. And then that's how new beauty comes in and shifts start to happen. And there's more abundance. So, so yeah, there's no holding back.
So listeners, what Catherine is saying is buckle up. So with the new moon, did you do any kind of rituals or any sort of, I don't know, something to kind of celebrate or I don't even know what the word is that I'm trying to think of right now.
Acknowledge.
Yeah. Mark.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Mark. Yeah. So in very subtle ways, it's like the setting of intentions of, you know, what's going to germinate, that kind of thing. And yeah. And did you, cause I do know that.
Yeah.
There was like a big experience. So I didn't know.
I put in a little segue there so that you could ask me about me.
Yes.
You know how this Leo operates. I don't know if you notice a little difference in my voice. It's not cause I just woke up and it's the morning, although it's just wake up. I've been up for several hours.
A little husky.
But yeah. Husky. I don't think I've been called husky before. I kind of like it. I was at an event last night in the city. It was breathwork, meditation, and ecstatic dance. And we did a lot of holotropic breathing. I don't know how to say this word. But you're familiar with that kind of breathing. Listeners, if you're not familiar with it, check it out. It's an intense breath practice where you breathe into your belly and then into your heart, and then you exhale with a ha. And for listeners that are familiar with the cyclic sighing that we've been doing in classes and in Arise with me, it's not like that, because the cyclic sigh is two sniffs through the nose and then a gentle holotrophic. At some points you like scream. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was there with two friends that are not, they're into it, but they've never experienced something like that before. So when the facilitator was like, "All right, now scream," they're just like, "Ah," and I'm like, "Rah!" My one friend said, she goes, "Paul, you screamed for the three of us," and I'm like, "You're welcome." But that was just, it was part of the experience. It was so fun. I have to say, in the last little while, and for no other reason than I just, you know, Claudia Miko and I say this all the time, don't make a big deal about it. I used to make a big deal about the new moon and the full moon. And what I mean by that is, like, I would, you know, get my altar ready. And I still do these things, but like, it's part of the day rather than making it like this 1 hour experience is where I'm going to do this, 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 and this. It's just like kind of always, like I tell the members of Arise, like, we're going to be in this consciousness of the new moon for the next 2 days. And in Arise, I might offer you a journal prompt, but don't feel like this is the moment that you have to answer that prompt. Mm-hmm. Just keep it in your mind. And then you're going to wash the dishes and the water is going to splash in a certain way. And then you're going to go, "Oh my God, this realization's getting," you know, it's like those little subtle things that come.
Yeah.
But it was nice for me to be in an experience like this where the intention was, now I don't like, there wasn't really any, there was also a cacao ceremony that happened that started the experience.
Yes.
The cacao breath work, the holotropic breathing, and then the screaming, and then the ecstatic dance. What was I saying again? Where am I? What day is it?
You were talking about the screaming, but the big and some deal. People weren't. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, anyways, it was nice to make a big deal about it. Like for me, I just kind of kept it in the back of my head that this is like a new moon experience for me. And it was called the system reset. And then the facilitator was talking about how like resetting our nervous system. Oh my gosh, he used the best analogy that I'd ever heard. And I'm gonna share it with everyone now. I didn't share this with you because I just popped into my mind. He said that, and he related it to technology, and I think it might land with a lot of people a little bit more when you make these connections. So he said, our mind is like an app, our body is the hardware, and then spirit is the internet. The internet, though, is our connection to all that is. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, like it, I didn't need to hear that to understand what he was saying. But when he said that, I was like, oh, I think more people are going to now understand this mind, body, spirit connection a little bit more. Mm-hmm. If you put it to like, if you relate it to something that, you know, the masses understand. Mm-hmm. And so when he said that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. So then we can download from the internet any app we want.
Yes.
Meaning we can reprogram our mind. And, you know, I love Claudia Miko talking. We talk about this all the time with hypnosis, with NLP, that you can reprogram your mind. Neuroplasticity is a thing. Our brain can be reshaped and we can retrain our brain to get out of old patterns and begin new patterns. So the whole experience was just like lovely. The other thing, and some people brought it up, they're like, oh, it's a 111. January 11th, the 111 portal. And I get that, but that kind of talk like 1122 portals and it doesn't resonate with me so much because that's more related to the calendar than it is to the energy of the solar system that I follow, right? The natural rhythm. It's interesting that the calendar and the planetary alignments lined up that on January 11th, it was also a new moon, but the 111 doesn't mean anything, but it just was like a cute little, a nice little reminder that we're on the right path kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the whole experience was cool. But what I was trying to say, the moral of the story is it doesn't always have to be a big thing like that, but it's fun to do every now and then. Right.
So absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was really good. So.
And I think that, and I'm speaking from my experience, that sometimes in the beginning, as we're starting down these paths, we do need those bigger things to mark, to celebrate, to really kind of ground it in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then as we start to embody the energies of it and the intentions of it, those bigger ceremonies can fall away.
Yes.
Because we're living it. We're harmonized with the cycles. So it's just the natural rhythms, the same way that the sun rises and the sun sets, or the moon rises and the moon sets. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's a, you know, this the sliver of a moon, and sometimes it's a half moon, and it's not really a big deal. The moon doesn't come up and say, "I'm a sliver moon today," or "I'm a new moon today." And
yeah.
It's a very subtle, but they're rhythms that we fall into, and we're living it. Mm-hmm. So we don't need those as much. And then it's really fun to actually do them for like a system reset,
yeah.
to experience things that we might not have done ourselves, like a cacao ceremony, like the breath work, you know, and something, when you talked about, the vocalizing and how, like, oh my gosh, and this is something that I was challenged with early on when I started and was participating in some of the breath work. I like to call it breath play because I don't want to make it work.
Yeah.
Although sometimes it's pretty intense. It does feel a little on the work side. Mm-hmm. But actually I'm going to take it even right back to my first yoga classes. And I remember when I first went into my class and people were breathing, and I was so self-conscious of like, mm-hmm. oh my God, how, I don't want people to hear me breathing. Like, I don't want, oh my God, like, how can these people be so loud with their breathing and feel good about it?
Yeah.
But that was,
and feel good about it.
I know, but it was like, it's just coming from one world where certain practices and constructs are the norm or accepted, into another world where other things are emphasized. It was a shift, and it was a shift that I needed to make because I was so constrained and programmed to not be heard and didn't allow myself to be heard. And then as it evolved and as I started sounding, and even then, when I went into the ones where it does encourage the screaming, at first there was no way. It was just right. not there. It yeah. was just not within me, and it felt unnatural to force it, and it shouldn't be forced. It that kind of expression needs to come from deep within and come from an instinct that's coming through, not from a force through the throat. Mm-hmm. Saying that though, I was very grateful to people who could express it, because as it was being expressed, it vibrated things within myself and started to illuminate things within myself that needed to be released, mm-hmm. that needed to be looked at. Mm-hmm. And I've been in ceremonies where some very primal soundings have come from other people. And I felt it in areas of my body that then has triggered a process for me to start a release. Right. And in, you know, in sharing after it, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And so your friends that were saying, oh, cause you were screaming for the three of us, like, absolutely. Because you're at the stage that it can be released, and that release vibrates things in other people that then triggers that process of release. And pretty soon those people are also able to sound and vocalize and there's a difference. I always talk in my classes, vocalization is different than verbalization,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So vocalization, the oohs, the ahs, the grunts, the groans, the sighs, that's vocalization.
Mm-hmm.
Putting words to it or making a sentence or having a conversation, mm-hmm. that's verbalization. That's the mind stepping in, like starting to try to take over and do other things and take us out of the experience. And sometimes we go into verbalization when we're trying to lift us out of that mm-hmm. experience because it's too much or too intense. And it's all okay. It's wherever yeah. we are, it's all perfect. It's absolutely fine. It's just mm-hmm. recognizing and acknowledging where we are and asking if we like that.
Right. Yeah. Would you say that vocalization can lead to better or more constructive verbalization? And
You know what? I often think that, or feel, I'm going to say feel because I'm being conscious of what's
that.
A think and what's a feel. Yeah. I often feel that the vocalization leads to less verbalization because we recognize the power of the silence and what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said.
Right.
And the vibrations of the heart can be felt out without words and more powerfully than like I look at how we communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. And I know we use a lot of words because it's a podcast and that and it's a conversation.
I mean, it's video now. We could just do it in an interpretive dance. Okay.
Excuse me, everybody.
If you're not watching this, go find where you can watch it because we're just going to dance.
Yeah. Just dance. The vibe, because everything is vibration. Mm-hmm. So the vibrations that we're using to put verbalization around things so that we can communicate like this is really a very small subset of the actual vibration that's coming from our heart.
Yeah.
And is so much richer and more expansive than what can actually be communicated in words. Mm-hmm. So once we start to be able to feel each other's hearts and be in each other's heart field, heart space, there's the pretenses are gone. The masks are gone. The compassion is up. The abundance is up. So yeah. So I think the vocalizations, yes, they lead to more quality verbalization, but it's mostly because they've expanded the silence.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Because I was thinking like beside that, and then you just brought it to a whole new level. The way I experience it is the vocalization has helped me better verbalize the things that before I would stuff down.
Yeah.
And that to me, and I, you know what, I'm just going to talk, listeners, if you don't want to hear about my sex life, hit mute right now. But I also found that vocalizing has just made my sexual experiences that much more open and freeing, and just it feels like the orgasm is able to move freely through my body instead of just staying concentrated in the genitals. And that, I mean, just takes everything to the whole to a whole other level.
Yes.
But I also found, and I was sharing this, I'm not going to give too many details and I'm not going to say who it was to protect this person's innocence, but somebody today, I had an experience with someone where old me that hadn't ever vocalized things, especially after a day of vocalization, a night of vocalization, the next day then being able to verbalize something that landed in a way that the other person had no intention to, like it just was a miscommunication, but I was able to step in and say, hey, you know, when this thing happened, this is what I was feeling. This is how it landed in me. And I just want you to know that when I do this, it doesn't mean that. And so it just, it helped me consciously verbalize. So that's, and that's what I often like tell, cause I have a lot of people that when I teach even, cyclic sighing, and it's an intro to vocalization for me because the exhale is a long, right. And the science shows that vibration is so beneficial for the nervous system because the vagus nerve is getting stimulated and that's going to soothe our nervous system, et cetera, et cetera. But I have these conversations because people are like, oh no, I'm silent. I can't make sounds. It's like, I mean, you're speaking to me right now, so you can make a sound. But to me, being unable to vocalize something just tells me that there's like a block somewhere, like the natural thing, like, yes, it's meant to come from within, to come out. And if we do it too much from just the voice, then that's forced. But I almost see it like, you know, if there is a natural spring underwater. Sometimes we got to dig a hole for that spring to come up and then, you know, fill a pond or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I kind of see it like that, that vocalization, even the simplest on an mm-hmm. exhale is going to create a path for me to say, I don't like when you do that.
Yeah.
Or something.
Something like that. So the vocalizations and the, especially that, mm-hmm. so many, like the psychic studies that I've been doing, lots of energy workers, it's interesting that everything, like the science behind it, all converges on the same thing, that drops us into our heart.
Yeah.
And when we're in our heart and when we're vocalizing, making those sighs and the hummings, and we can feel. Mm-hmm. And when we can feel, we can better express what's happening to our experience. And the way that you said it, if we back up, when you said, when I see / hear this, I felt. So it's always, it's never expressing it with a blame or shame on the other person, or saying, you made me blah, blah, blah. You don't make me do anything.
Yeah.
I make me do everything, and it's how it lands with me. Now, that's not to say that we do need to express, because we're all different. Mm-hmm. And how I'm acting in the world has an impact. It might not have been my intent, mm-hmm. the impact that happens.
Right.
And that's where we have to communicate with each other. Where we say, when I saw, heard this, I felt dismissed, diminished, whatever words, you know, happy, like,
yeah.
So because that kind of feedback is also, you know, when I saw that, heard that, I was thrilled.
I like when you call me pretty.
Yeah, exactly. I love hearing that. So yeah. Those expressions are equally, if not more important too, because often it's the expression of things that we've buried that comes out. Pleasure's one of those as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's taking the ownership and that feedback is what helps us align our intent and our impact, because some of how I'm acting may not be my intent, but someone's interpreting it differently. And if it's one person, you kind of got to go, okay, because, you know, but if 9 out of 10 people are saying, and it was completely off my intent, it's like, whoa, okay. Yeah. I have to look at this. So that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Wait, what did we want to talk about today?
I honestly, this was a lot of it. And as usual, it took on a life of its own, which is beautiful. Yeah. It kind of brings me back to the first series of yoga that I've started teaching in the new year is, it's called, our theme is luminous. Mm. And it's about being how we are radiant beings of light, of electromagnetic. Mm-hmm. And we forget that. We often forget that and think and fall into humanness. Mm-hmm. And often what happens, and when we don't feel alive and vibrant, is that there is some sort of constriction of the light that's able to flow through our being. And the more light that we can allow to flow through our being, the more alive and vibrant we are. And especially with the, and I mean, this is a feeling, a personal feeling of mine. I've also heard it from other energy workers. I've also heard it from science as well. So with this more intense solar energy that's coming in, we are receiving more codes of light. Mm-hmm. And we need to have a body and an energy field that can integrate and harness those higher vibrational energies, because if there's constriction, then that's where we start to have challenges, whether it's our physical health, whether it's our mental health, our emotional health. That's where that's where we start to have challenges if there's constrictions in how the light body can function.
Yeah. You know, and this is a big reason too why in my fitness classes, even in my yoga classes, I'm always ensuring that yes, there's going to be moments of contraction, but we're always discharging that muscular contraction, that muscular tension. I mean, contraction is good. If my muscles didn't contract, my body wouldn't move, right? Mm-hmm. We walk by our quads and our glutes and our core and everything contracting and releasing. But it's that muscular tension if we hold on to it. And the reason for that discharging of the muscular tension, and I'm tapping my body because we do that a lot in class, is so that it can discharge that, so that the life force, prana, light, whatever it is, that subtle energy that gives us that vibrancy can flow through our body. If we're so tense, mm-hmm. think about like just like clenching your teeth. You can't put food in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Which is going to nourish you. So if your muscles are clenched, you're not going to get that nourishment from the light, the sun, the energy around you, which is so important. Like off topic, but related, one of the beauties of the experience I was in last night was that I was in a group. There was 200 people. I have not been in an experience like that in a long time. And the HeartMath Institute, if you're familiar with that, and listeners, you've probably heard me mention it before, HeartMath Institute says when we sync up, when we have heart coherence with a group mm-hmm. of people and we all breathe together and we all get our heartbeats synchronized, it creates a strong, powerful field that is transformative.
Yes.
And so just like discharging muscular tension in our classes and in our daily life will then allow us to have, this is my philosophy on this, it'll allow us to have better relationships.
Yes.
Number one, I'm not guarded, I'm not contracted, and I'm not going into everything ready for a fight. And number two, my body is better able to receive information from your energy field, and your energy field and your body, if it's in that state, is going to be better for your body to receive that mm-hmm. information as well, because the information is not just verbally. We know this, science tells us body language. I can see the way you hold your body and I will react in a certain way. I'll say, oh, she looks angry. Whether you're angry or not, if you have yourself closed off, we just feel it, right? So I think the same is true with our energy. So like the more tense we are, the more tension there's going to be in our relationships.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. For sure. And a couple of places that I want to go with that. So on that topic of like convergence and coming together as a group, there is a great interview with Jonathan Goldman on Next Level Soul. And I'll put the link in here, and I won't cover the whole, because it's absolutely worth listening to. Jonathan Goldman's a well-known sound healer.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think he has an app I have of his chakras sounds.
And there's lots of his work out there, and he's got some books. And anyway, it was touching on how, when we can come together like that, we make big shifts. When we do it ourselves, we make a huge shift in the world. And in fact, that's the only way, and we've talked about it here, the only way we change this world is by changing the world within ourselves. That's the only way. So that was one idea that came in. And then the second one was on the idea of contraction, we also have to have balance, because if we're too relaxed, we're like a pile of mush and we can't stand up and we can't actually do anything in the world. So there is this delicate balance, and any, you know, working with the chakra system, there is contraction and there is expansion. That's in our yoga poses. There's this dynamic contraction and expansion that's happening, that is always in balance. So too much tension isn't good. Light's not flowing through. Too much relaxation isn't good because we can't hold that charge and we can't hold the light and we can't actually manifest it into this world. So
and use it.
Yeah. And then use it. Yeah.
Do something with it. Right.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, if the light's going to come into me, I'm going to use that to extend that light out into the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And thinking back to on the, like coming together and changing the world inside, even more so than in the past, this 2024 energy, we really need to be conscious of where our focus is and what we're giving our attention, because what we focus on, what's that saying, that energy flows where focus goes. Mm-hmm. I don't know who quoted that. It's not my quote.
It was Nelson Mandela.
Okay. And if you're laughing, you know what the joke is because you've listened to a couple of our episodes. If you don't, go back, listen to a bunch of them and then the joke. And if it doesn't matter, but
it was not Nelson Mandela, but
no, it was not, but we're doing a throwback to something that gets attributed to and confused.
Yes.
But anyway, that quote, the energy flows where focus goes. Mm-hmm. It is one that I've heard in several teacher trainings. So I don't know who said it, but it's really true. It's really, really true. And so when we look at how we live our lives, what gets fed to us in a newsfeed, in social media, often it's the sensationalized, often it's the denser energies that are pulling, and it's we're, as a human, we're kind of programmed to watch out. We're on the watch out because that's an animal instinct for survival. But as a spiritual being, we can't always be focused on what we need to watch out for and the danger and that, because it starts to affect ourselves, which then affects out into the world. Mm-hmm. So often people say, well, I can't be happy because, like, don't you know what's going on in the world? And it's like, well, I do know what's going on. And I have a lot of compassion for what's going on in the world. I also know that it doesn't help myself or the world to get caught up in that same energy. Mm-hmm. Because whether we're looking at something and agreeing with it, or whether we're looking at something and fighting against it, it's energy. Mm-hmm. And that's feeding that thing. And especially if we don't want that thing, mm-hmm. our focus, even in the fight, is feeding it. So, you know, I really hope that people can take the nugget away from this without getting upset or angry, or that I'm saying something that I didn't mean. Cause my intent is absolute. Yes. Compassion for everything that is happening out there. I want everyone to be happy and free and wild and live a life of abundance and fullness, because that's what we're here. That's why we're here, is to have this beautiful human experience. And there's so much beauty that, you know, we can forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. And if I could just add my two cents to it, mm-hmm. what purpose does it serve to attack someone else for, like, you know, the things that are happening? I'm just going to say this. I'm seeing a lot of this on social media where, you know, things that are going on in the world, people that are trying to make it stop are attacking other people. Mm-hmm. In efforts to try to make that. It's like, but you're just using that exact same energy that you're fighting against to fight that. Yeah. And if you just, even that word itself, you're fighting against another person, you're contributing to the energy that is going to perpetuate that fight.
Yeah.
As opposed to recognizing that that's there And then the way I see it is, okay, I see all of that's happening in the world. What can I do within my world? And I think we've talked about this before. What can I do in my world to ensure that kind of energy is not here, mm-hmm. in hopes that it would inspire another person to do the same, and another person to do the same, and another person to do the same, until the energy that's being pulled away from creating that thing is put in toward creating that which we want to see on this planet, yes. which is yes. more peace. If there's yes. if there's not peace within me, there's not going to be peace within this world, because this not world is the macrocosm of me, the microcosm.
Yes. Yes.
So everything that you see out there in the world that's happening, and people are like, oh, why is this happening in the world? Because it's happening within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that reason is, whether it is trauma, whether it is, you know, information that we're being told, whether it's what it, like, it doesn't matter what it is. The point is, it exists. What are we going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the reflection that I get from what you're saying. And I totally get like, yeah, totally. Stuff is happening out there. Don't bring it in this house and don't perpetuate it. That's how I see it in my mind.
It's naming the behavior that I'm doing. What it, you know, name this behavior, look at this behavior. Is it creating more of what I want?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it isn't, I modify it. And if it is, I amplify it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So it all comes to here. Is this behavior creating more of what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really as simple as that.
Yeah.
And the best thing we can do is land in our hearts and be grounded in our bodies and live from the heart.
Yes. And then if I can just circle it back. So you had said before, you know, it starts from us. And then when we bring it into a group of people that are heart-centered as well, that are like-minded, and we come together for a thing, that's going to amplify that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that is what's going to go out into the world, not what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. yeah, starts within and then it works its way out.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel like, I mean, we step into this little vortex of no time. I mean, we can keep going and we always say that, but I want to be mindful of the time.
Yeah.
And also save something for our next time that we chat.
Of course. Yeah.
So
there's one more thing that I want to talk about, because this is just a funny little thing. So the other day we rewatched Groundhog Day, that old movie with
great film.
It really stands the test of time. It's a great one. And what I love in it is the lesson. And I hope this isn't a spoiler. If you haven't watched the movie, it is worth watching. But the lesson is that here's this guy who's going through life and is shut off, disconnected, self-centered. What can I get out of life? Like, and so every day feels the same. And I think of, like, you know, this can happen whether you're living a life that you don't really want to be living, or even sometimes when you're living your dream life, we can fall into this pattern of, like, waking up in the morning, going through our day the same way that we always do, coming home, going to sleep, and then it starts, the alarm clock goes off the next day, and it starts to feel like Groundhog Day, the name of the movie. That it's the same day over and over and over again, and there's no life in it, and it contracts. And when this character starts to notice the beauty and love life and start to put creative energies into expressions of the heart rather than expressions of personal dramas, and that's when life starts. Mm-hmm. That's when the freedom from this cycle of repetition comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. So that was just,
I it's funny that you mentioned that. I watched it last year, because last year in Arise on Groundhog Day, what I did was I did a repetition of the same yoga sequence over and over, and I used the exact same words. I played the exact same song. Nobody caught on to it. And then I was like, haven't you seen Groundhog Day? And they didn't know what I was talking about. But remind me, what was the song on the alarm clock? Or what was the thing?
It was Sonny and Cher, I've Got You.
Babe. Oh, yeah.
They say our love won't pay the rent. Before it turned to money.
You've got your Cher locks going on today. I love that.
I love Cher.
Yeah.
That's a whole other side.
We'll do a whole episode on Cher.
Yeah.
Anyways, Catherine.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love you. I love our conversations. And I mean, it's just always so fitting. I don't know, just the timing that we didn't pick this day and this time around the new moon and Capricorn and all this to have this, but it just happened and here we are. And I love it. And I love you.
I love it. And I love you. And I love harmony and harmonizing with these cycles. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So lovers, check out the show's notes because Catherine's going to throw in some links in there. Yeah. Be sure to check us out at livingspiritfully.com. Connect with us. Catherine, anything else to share with the listeners?
Yes, our own work, our own play.
Own play.
Except a little different twist on it this time. I'm actually going to give myself the own work.
Ooh.
And so listeners can follow along or, if inspired, participate as well. So I think what I'm going to do is go out and find a beauty moment, find something that just strikes me, snap a shot of it. And I'll post it in the collective. And I will also post it on other social media because this is about stopping to take notice of the beauty moments and just this magical world that we live in. And that's what my homework will be. And if inspired, meditate on this, look at the intricacies of the picture, whatever jumps out, whatever inspirations come in, pay it forward, go find something in your day and then share it on your network so that we create this wave of beauty. And then
let's come up with a catchy hashtag. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. If you have one.
Okay.
Listeners, check the show's notes because we'll have the hashtag in there. And so if you're going to be posting anything, use the hashtag so that we can see each other's posts, whether we follow each other or not.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I love that. And I'm not techie. So I totally forgot about hash. What's this word you're using?
The pound symbol.
Anyway, yes.
I love it.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
So we'll do that.
I love that. Let's do it.
And I don't know if I want to this is kind of roping you into it as well. So I'll just stick with me, but it's something that we've been saying for years. Again, this is homework for Catherine and possibly Paul. Should you choose to accept it? I know where you're going with it. We have been saying that we want to collaborate on a workshop or an offering or something. And we've been saying this for a while. And I feel that I want to put it out there because if I say it and our listeners have heard it, even if it's one person, I've made a commitment. And so that will be enough to prompt me to move forward. So keep an eye out for something, might be live, might be online, form to be determined, theme to be determined. But the promise is that at least one before the end of 2024.
Yes, that and beyond the podcast. So it's going to be, we're still going to do the podcast and then something else that's going to be out in the world doing what we do best.
Yeah.
And I love it. I can't wait. Rope me in. Count me in. Sign me up.
Where do I register?
I love it so much. And I'm looking forward to it because we have been talking about it. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for so long. And so I'm
excited
that we're going to do this.
Me too. And even just vocalizing that has like sent a flood of like, it just opened something up. So
yeah. I love
it. Should we ecstatic dance our way out?
Yes, let's do it. The theme song is starting to kick in and you're going to say,
remember, we are meant to thrive. How do you come alive? Thank you.
Spiritfully podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.